So today we're going to really go into detail in loans and in particular on loan interest. Since this comes up quite a bit, or how does the loan interest accrue? Where does it go? We're going to go through all of the details we can regarding loan interest, and we're going to look at several companies. We've actually got some literature directly from them that will explain how loans and loan interest works. So we've got a document, an outline here that we've prepared. We're going to go through several PDFs this evening as well. So we will take it one item at a time. And if you have questions, feel free to type right in the chat box. So to begin, how loan interest works. This is the best starting point. And the first item is that it accrues daily at annual simple interest. And let's start here because this term, I've mentioned this to people. And when I first heard it, when someone said, yeah, it accrues at annual simple interest, I didn't know what that meant. So let's go through a quick breakdown here. Annual simple interest, and it also accrues daily. So if I have a policy loan, let's assume I have a policy. You'll have to pardon my poor penmanship. I've got cash value, it can be any amount. We're just going to assume I take out a loan of $10,000. And to make things simple, we're going to assume that a policy has a 5% loan rate. So 5% of $10,000 is fairly simple math, right? That's going to come out to $500. Now, again, when the insurance company tells you and I that loan interest accrues daily at annual simple interest, well, what does that mean? How does it work? So what we would do is if at 5%, that's $500, assuming we take out a $10,000 loan, is annual simple interest. What we would do is actually take that loan interest amount, we can calculate it, $500, and divide that by 365 days. Whatever the loan interest amount is. So in this example, what we would do, take the loan interest amount, divide by 365 days, and literally would come out to about $1.37 per day. So if we tracked our account daily, we would see that much loan interest accrue per day, assuming we took out a $10,000 loan and our policy had a 5% loan rate. Now, why it's called annual simple interest is that amount is constant for 365 days, which we're going to get into more detail on this as we progress through the outline this evening. If I pay any of the loan down over the course of the year, obviously I am going to cut down my loan interest expenses, but it does accrue daily. What we want to do is take the loan interest, whatever amount we take out via loan balance, take the interest rate, divide it by 365 days, and that is very common in the industry as a whole. That is what annual simple interest means that accrues daily. Loan interest itself is due annually on the anniversary date. We're going to get into more detail on this. In fact, let's do it right now. So when I say loan interest is due, that does not mean we have to pay it. What'll happen, and those who own a life insurance policy are already aware of this, is that if I have a policy, say I took out a $10,000 loan. What's going to happen is if I make zero payments over the full policy year, 365 days, at that same 5%, What'll happen is on my policy anniversary date, when my premium's due, when I'm making contributions, is I'll also get a statement stating loan interest, $500, please pay. What'll happen is if I decide not to pay it, the policy will borrow from itself to satisfy that loan interest. We're going to go into more detail on that as well. But if I have enough cash in there, the policy can pay for its own, pay for itself. On that anniversary date, whatever loan interest has accrued, the company will always send us a bill for that saying, please pay. However, if I have cash in there, I do not have to pay it. The policy can cover the loan interest expense on its own. I know we've mentioned this piece before. Loan interest is payable to the insurance company. It does not go back to our policy, just because there's a lot of confusion out there, in particular with the IBC, just if it's improperly marketed or explained somewhat to someone. As again, whenever there's a loan interest rate on a policy, what that loan interest rate is interest that's payable to the insurance company. Nash's concept, and we'll touch on this very quickly, try and do it in 30 seconds, is if I borrow from a policy and my interest rate is 5% and Nash recommended to pay it back at 10%, what that would mean is of my 10% payment, 5% would be applied toward the interest in the insurance company, and the additional 5%, because I'm overpaying it, is really going towards PUAs. What that concept recommends is stuffing money into cash via PUAs, which we can do with or without a loan attached. Let's progress on here and give myself some space. So we touched on this a little bit. Repayments are not required if we have enough cash value in the account to cover that loan interest payment. All right, so in a case where I took out that $10,000 loan and a year goes by, I don't pay anything on the policy loan, $500 accrues. What happens is if I do not pay it, let's assume I have cash value, is we're going to say pre-loan, before I took out the $10K, $50,000, and we'll say post-loan, $40,000. What'll happen is, again, I get this bill for $500 just to pay the loan interest. If I don't pay it, what's going to happen is the dividends and interest being yielded on my account will cover it for me. The policy will borrow from itself . It'll borrow $500 to cover that loan interest expense. And then what'll happen, that $500 is tacked on to my loan balance, which is now $10,500. The next piece, kind of touched on this, unpaid loan interest is added to the balance at the end of the policy year, assuming we don't pay anything on it. And then annual simple interest will begin to accrue on the new balance at the end of each year. So what that means is it accrues at simple interest only annually. If I'm not paying it, technically, when we look at it, it is compound interest, because what's going to happen now is if I deferred payments for a full year, I paid nothing on my loan. Going back to this example, year two comes. Let's give myself some space. So year one, let's just kind of back up. I take out a $10,000 loan at 5%, equals $500 of loan interest. I pay, say the consumer, pays nothing. Poor verbiage there, but you guys know what I mean. Consumer pay nothing. Then what happens is year two rolls around. I did not want to pay that loan interest. We're going to assume we do not pay that. That tax on to my balance. It borrows from the cash value to cover that firstly. But now my loan balance is $10,500. Guess what happens? Annual simple interest begins to accrue on that number. So we want to take the same formula then. Take 10.5 times 0.05, 525, divided by 365 days, $1.44, right? So a little bit higher. Good to be aware of, right? Because if I'm not paying anything at all, especially if I'm in retirement, just taking income, a lot of times the policy will sustain. It can pay for itself. It can cover the loan interest, but I want to see it to make sure there's zero chance of a lapse occurring down the road. So over time, that loan balance will compound if I'm paying nothing on it. So we demonstrated this $10,000 loan example and how the interest accrues. All right, so loaned dollars, most of you guys already know this, will continue to yield dividends and interest as if it were still positioned in cash value. And obviously, this is going to vary if the account is direct or non-direct recognition, which we've got past webinars on that. We are going to touch on this as well this evening, in particular with the big four companies, and see how they treat loans and really how their loan interest rates have different terms within each contract. Let's move on to repayments. Here's the nice thing. With a policy loan, this is one of the most attractive pieces, repayments are made at the consumer's leisure. Life insurance has always been, and likely always will be, a means as positioning tax-free retirement income. And really, what that consists of is overfunding a policy and then turning around and taking withdrawals and loans out of the policy and never paying them back. It's a great means to take money out tax-free. And why I'm highlighting this when we mentioned repayments can be made at leisure is repayments can be made never, assuming the policy can handle it. If I do decide to repay it, if I'm a real estate investor, a business owner, and my cash flow fluctuates, perhaps I sell a piece of property 2 years later than anticipated, I've got a lump sum, then I'm going to pay it off. I want to be aware of that. I can pay it back anytime I want. I don't have to come up with out-of-pocket payments for loan interest or anything like that, provided I have enough cash in there to cover the minimum loan interest, which we should in most cases, especially if we're paying premiums. Now here, repayments are applied toward the loan interest first and then toward the balance. Let's go through an example here. First, let's touch on point C, that repayments made before, we've got this bolded, the policy anniversary date will result in a lesser interest expense. And here's exactly how this will work. Let's give ourselves some space here. So I take out the same loan of $10,000. We're going to keep things consistent at the 5% interest expense. Simple math. That equals $500 of loan interest. And when does it total that $500 of loan interest? At the 365-day mark. All right, so what this means is, let's assume a I pay this loan off after one full year. I say, okay, I'm going to clear it now after 365 days. I would have to come up out of pocket with, guess what? $10,500. Loan is cleared. Let's say I'm going to clear it 6 months in from the date I took out a loan. So being that that loan interest accrues daily, after 6 months, $500 has not accrued. In fact, only $250 has accrued. So if I decide to clear it at that point, what'll happen? $10,250 is what I would owe to completely pay off the loan. Now, to add another piece, is if I am making frequent repayments, I am going to lessen my interest expense. So for example, let's use the same 6 month example, just to keep things as simple as we can. 6 months in, I've accrued $250 of loan interest. So my loan balance at this point in time is $10,250. Let's assume that I apply a repayment of $2,000. Can be any number. You'll see where I'm going here. What'll happen is we apply that $2,000 payment. That $2,000 will first knock off the loan interest. That means I have what left? So if the $2,250 knocked off, then there's $1,750 that's applied towards the $10,000 balance. So then what happens? $10,000 minus $1,750, my new balance, let's do it down here. Is $8,250. Okay. Now, at the 6 month and 1 day mark, annual simple interest of 5% begins to accrue on the $8,250. So it's going to be a lesser interest amount, and I've also carved into the principal. I've paid down the interest a little bit earlier. Main point here, I know I did a lot of drawing there, is if I am paying down that loan more frequently than one time a year, I'm going to pay less in out-of-pocket interest expenses because I'm going to carve down that loan interest. And if I'm carving into the principal, what's going to happen there is as I pay that principal down, well, the loan interest will begin to accrue again, but on the new loan balance amount, which will be lower. If you have questions, feel free to type in the chat box. We can certainly go over a recap at the end. We touched on this point, or actually no, we touched on the opposite. So point D, repayments are required if the cash value balance is depleted and cannot cover the loan interest expense. So where this would apply, let's use the same example. I'm just going to make a quick tweak here. I have cash value of $10,000. I loan $10,000. The year one mark comes or end of that year, my equity that I can borrow against is what? Zero. I loaned everything out. I'm still earning interest on the $10,000, but I've taken out the max loan. What'll happen here I've got the loan interest that's due. If I do not have enough money in remaining cash value, so how can I put this? If remaining cash cannot cover loan, I should say cannot cover loan interest, what is a must is we have to come up with that interest payment out of pocket. Policyholder must pay, pardon my horrible handwriting, interest out of pocket, or the policy will lapse. Important to be aware of that. If I've got a gain or if I've pulled more out than what I've paid in, we could also run into some potential taxes. We've got past webinars on that and some short video content as well. But it's important to know, if I don't have any cash or if it's a very low amount that cannot cover the loan interest expense, what's going to happen is either A, I pay it, or B, I have to deal with a lapse. Now, one thing that will have an impact here, depending on the timing of the policy, is if I'm paying, let's put this in blue, a premium and or a PUA contribution, that is going to do what? That is going to build my cash value, which then the policy will have enough cash value where it can take care of that loan interest expense on its own. Where this below factor can occur is if I have nothing in cash, if I can't or I'm no longer paying premiums and I've borrowed everything out, the interest isn't high enough to satisfy. It's more of a worst case scenario. It can happen. It has in the past, really, when people are undereducated, but it's good to be aware of. And I know I went through a lot of items there. If you have questions, do let me know. Really good question, which we are going to touch on that. I see here from Miller, which is what happens if the carrier charges interest up front? And you know what? I was going to touch on that when we go through the companies and their rates. Why don't we touch on that now, and then we can zip through the companies a little bit faster. So, depending on the insurance company, some will bill loan interest up front, and then some will bill it over the course of the year. Let's just call it daily. That's the example we've really focused on, where I take a $10,000 loan, 5% equals $500. That accrues over the course of the year and hits that $500 in day 365. Some companies will bill loan interest up front. Here's how it works. And Miller, really good question. You're going to find it actually works in the exact same manner from a loan interest treatment standpoint. You'll see what I mean. So if we take out a $10,000 loan, and for the sake of simplicity, we'll assume it's the same 5%, which is $500, and we have a policy with an insurance company that bills interest upfront, or call it in advance, is what you'll see the actual literature read from the company, payable in advance. So what happens in a case like this is on day one, when I look at my online account or my statement, I see my loan balance is actually $10,500. They took that loan interest expense, that payment up front. Now, it still accrues at annual simple interest daily. Here's how. So let's go back to that 6 month example. So assuming this is my policy, I borrow out 10K, I get a statement on day one when I take out that loan, hey, your loan balance is now 10,500. 6 months, I get a bonus, I sell a piece of property, whatever happens, and I'm going to pay it off. So I say, okay, my loan balance is 10,500. I'm going to pay the full amount off. It's cleared. What happens is those companies that bill the loan interest in advance, what happens when you pay it off prior to 365 days, you'll actually get a refund for the interest that was billed in advance. So in this case, if I paid it off 6 months in advance, I'd get a refund of $250. So it accrues in the exact same manner. The company is just billing it up front. Really has zero impact on performance or loan treatment. Okay, let's continue. Rates. Here's the part everyone is interested in. What is the cost of borrowing? And we can go through every insurance company. Everyone who's seen any of our content, short videos or long videos, has heard the word four major mutual companies come out of my mouth a billion times. We're going to focus on those. I don't have to go into the reasons why, other than that they have proof of concept and performance. So rates will vary depending on the company and terms. Variable and fixed loan rates are often available. Some companies offer both. Others only offer one option. Non-direct or direct recognition is not going to have an impact on the loan rate, but it will have an impact on the dividend rate, which we'll go through. So let's demonstrate a little bit here. We're going to pull up software very quickly via the illustrations, but what we're going to use primarily to demonstrate, a couple pieces. So firstly, we've got our four major mutual companies. The only mistake I see here that I didn't update is New York Life's 2019 dividend rate is actually 6% flat. So MassMutual, we've got some examples here. What I want to touch on is MassMutual is typically a non-direct recognition company. I say typically for a reason, is to have the non-direct recognition treatment apply to a MassMutual policy. What is a must is I must elect the variable loan interest rate. And we're going to go into this whole term on variable after I go through these four companies. So let's do this so I don't forget. So if I elect the variable loan rate, any MassMutual policy is treated as a non-direct recognition account. The historical spread via the dividend rate and the loan rate is the dividend on average has been anywhere from 1 to 1.5% higher than the variable loan rate. You can kind of see that now. Dividends at 6.4, variable loan rate is at 5%. Okay. Because they're non-direct recognition, what happens here? My 6.4% dividend is credited to any money in cash and then also any borrowed funds. Let's touch on this loan rate a bit here. So 5%, I see the term variable. With MassMutual specifically, their floor is 5%. That is the lowest that loan rate can can be dropped down to. The adjustment here, what it's linked to, and this is going to apply, I was going to touch on this on the end, let's just touch on it now. This will apply really to about every insurance company out there that uses a variable loan rate. It's not all exact, but they use very similar strategies. With the Big Four, Mass, New York Life, and Guardian, this will apply to when their variable loan rate is applied. It is linked to Moody's Corporate Bond Index, or their Moody's Corporate Bond Average, I should say. What that is if you're curious what that is, it's a AAA rated bond. And what you can do is Google search it. Just type in Moody's Corporate Bond Average. And the thing to notice here is that this loan rate, the bond rate does adjust daily. And you can see it down here. This just dates back to May. Doesn't move a whole lot, but it does move day to day. So Mass Mutual as a company, same with the other carriers, if they're going to use this corporate bond index, the average that is, that means their loan rate technically can't adjust daily. Now, for the past, I don't know how many years, it's been below 5% for a long time. So that's why Mass Mutual in particular has their floor at 5%. Good to be aware of. For a policyholder, when we hear variable loan rate and it can adjust daily, that's scary. We cannot experience with a Mass Mutual policy a loan rate adjustment on a daily basis. We can only see an adjustment one time per year on our anniversary date. And the maximum the loan rate can increase by is 0.5% per year. That is the upside cap on how much it can increase by. There's no cap on how much it can decrease by, with the exception being the floor. So for example, if I take out a policy in 2019, my loan rate's 5%. Let's assume interest rates spike in 2020. Mass Mutual's variable loan rate is 10%. In 2020, my actual policy loan rate would be 5.5%. Maximum it can increase is 0.5% per year. If it gradually creeps up to 10% and then interest rates plummet, I would go all the way back down to 5. Okay, that's their variable loan rate. I know I spent a lot of time on that. We don't have to go through the same thing with the other carriers since they all function in the same way with that variable loan rate. One thing to note is Mass Mutual also has a fixed loan rate at 6%, which we don't use a whole lot. For one, it makes the account direct recognition. And not that that's a bad thing. The thing I don't like about their direct recognition, and this is more of a personal preference, so I shouldn't just say I don't like it, is Mass Mutual has control over what they adjust the dividend rate to. What we've seen for the most part historically is if I have a dividend rate of 6.4% and a fixed loan rate of 6%, usually when I borrow money on loan money, the company will adjust my dividend rate downwards. Historically, we've seen right around a 5.5% dividend rate applied to the funds that are borrowed, which I'm paying 6% loan interest. Now, with that said, presently, Mass Mutual does things a little bit different. So on their fixed loan rate, we see a 6% rate. Dividends are adjusted, meaning they're a direct recognition company. So they're going to recognize the fact that we take out a loan. But here we go. Under the 2019 dividend schedule, the fixed loan rate results in a higher dividend payment if there's an outstanding loan. Really, what this means is on borrowed funds, I have a 6% cost of borrowing, but I'm receiving a higher dividend rate than 6.4%. We've run a couple analyses on this. It's pretty interesting. With that said, MassMutual still has a lot of control over this. I don't see a whole lot of consistency with that higher dividend rate. So it's something we want to be aware of. Right now, it's a nice option. The drawback is whatever loan rate I select when I start a policy, I'm locked in for life. A lot of info tonight. So that's MassMutual, which I covered a lot there, in particular on how the variable loan rate works, which is going to be the same thing with New York Life. So they only have a variable loan rate of 5%. Functions very similar to Mass. Uses a AAA rated bond as the average to determine the gauge, with their floor being 5%. And no matter what happens, I continue to receive the 6% dividend on any money in cash and any money borrowed. Guardian, so here's how they work. They are a direct recognition company to start. They have a fixed loan rate of 6%. Their dividend is presently 5.85%. So if I have a Guardian policy, let's get some space here. We're going to assume I have cash value of 100K and I decide to loan out 50K. What'll happen here is I've got a dividend rate of 5.85. The money in cash, let me back up. I'm still going to earn dividends on my entire $100,000. The direct recognition, that just means they recognize the outstanding loan portion, they still pay me a dividend on it. The cash value, money that's not touched, equity still in the account, will receive the basic dividend, 585 in this example. The loaned amount, what am I paying? 6%. Guardian adjusts their dividend rate on borrowed funds to 6%. So what that means is originally I had 100K. In this example, I borrowed at 50%. So of that 100K, 50% is receiving the standard dividend, and the other 50% is receiving a dividend equal to the loan rate. In a sense, they create somewhat of a wash effect because they don't want policyholders to feel like they're going to be punished for borrowing from the account. A little complex. Hopefully that helps. We've also got this literature which breaks it down, which feel free to request if you'd like more than just the recording. Now, at the 10th policy year, we have the option to elect a variable loan rate. That's year 10 only. If we elect that variable loan rate, it functions very similar to MassMutual's and New York Life's. It also changes the policy status to non-direct recognition. The difference is the variable loan rate has a floor of 4.5% instead of 5%. So 0.5%, a little more favorable. I mean, not a huge deal, but it does allow me to switch my status from direct to non-direct. Some people are attracted to that. If I elect that, I'm locked into it forever, and it is a variable rate. If I don't elect it, here's part three to Guardian's loan rate. I keep the fixed loan rate, and then at the later of age 65 or 20 years into the policy, the fixed rate drops to 4%. It's locked in for life. Really, why they do that is to provide a greater retirement income stream. They use that for their income sales standpoint with life insurance. It's a nice option. Really, if I am pulling income and I have no desire to pay anything back, it helps lock in a lower rate. And they've got their literature as well. Right, so you see fixed loan with direct recognition, 6% guaranteed loan rate, dropping to 4% at the later of 20 years or age 65. Direct recognition, this is the key. May have an impact on dividends. Then you've got your variable without direct recognition. You could just say with non-direct recognition. There you go. Link to the same gauge. Currently, 4.5%. Loans have no impact on dividends. The company does not recognize the fact that we have a loan outstanding, hence the term non-direct recognition. So that's Guardian. Then you've got Northwestern Mutual. How these guys work is you have a fixed loan rate of 8%, a dividend rate of 5%. On paper, that is scary, looks horrible. In reality, it's not as bad as it looks. What Northwestern does is something similar to Guardian in the sense that when we take out a policy loan, so if I've got $100,000 in cash, I loan out $50,000. That means I've got $50,000 unborrowed. Whatever I don't touch, meaning I'm leaving it in cash value, is receiving whatever the basic dividend rate is. Whatever is loaned will receive a dividend enhancement, and this is based off of the present interest rate environment. The dividend credited to borrowed funds is 7%. Again, at an 8% cost, so I still have a 1% negative spread there, but it's way better than 3%, and that applies for the first 20 years. From that point forward, starting year 21, the dividend credited to loaned dollars is 7.75. So at no point is it a wash or in my favor, but they are going to make up for that negative spread. They're not going to have policyholders feel like, okay, wow, I get a negative 3% hit. Just wouldn't make sense. So it's interesting what they do. Let's pull up their literature. So this is from Northwestern Mutual that shows determining dividends when a policy loan is outstanding. Got a nice chart. Here's the main thing. This is 2018 when their dividend rate was 4.9. Highlighted in yellow, it highlights the exact literature we went through. So this is a recent change. It was a little bit different prior to 2016, but what they do is bump the dividend crediting rate to 7% on borrowed funds for the first 20 years. And then it's only a 0.25% spread afterwards until age 100, but I don't think we need to go that far out. A lot of info tonight. Not as many illustration charts as we've used in the past. I don't think we're going to look at any. Let's look at one real quick here. It's good to see some numbers. All right, so here is a Guardian illustration. We just drew this up real quick. 40-year-old male paying in $20,000 per year. Optimal design. 10% premium. Everything else in cash. I'm going to zip through this thing because This webinar has been long. Break even between years 4 and 5, or actually between years 3 and 4. I'm sorry. Only thing I want to highlight is this actually falls in line with a question that was asked earlier, because Guardian is one of the companies that bills loan interest up front. So this assumes we take out a $10,000 loan. That's the actual loan we demonstrated here. That's why under my net after-tax outlay, negative $10,000. This is assuming $10,000 is pulled out and sent to the consumer, the policyholder. My loan balance immediately is $10,600. At that fixed loan interest rate of 6%, that's what Guardian is billing up front. Now, if I pay this off in 6 months, what would happen is they would issue me a refund of $300. Now, the main thing I want to highlight here is we take out a $10,000 loan. What they're going to collateralize is our death benefit. So I could stretch the term here. What we should compare this to is an example where we don't touch it. In fact, I can do that. Let's do that real quick. So when I take that loan out, my cash is $263. My death benefit is $849. I take that loan out year 12. Let's zoom into year 12. There we go. Here's without a loan, 274. And I took the 10K loan out, 263. Over here, 849, 856. Why the reduction exists is due to that loan outstanding. Usually we put these on a side-by-side spreadsheet, which we've got plenty of webinars and material on that if you'd like to dig into that item into more detail. Main point, I take out the 10K loan. They bill a loan interest in advance. That's why my loan balance is $10,600. And then also, this assumes I don't pay it. So it does accrue an annual simple interest over the course of each year. But if I don't pay it, this is compounding my loan interest. There's my loan balance. Assuming I have zero out-of-pocket payments towards loans. Good to be aware of this kind of stuff, right? It's important. One last item, and this will not take as long to go through. This is more of a added bonus, just material to be aware of. And we actually started working with a bank that can do this nationally, which is really nice, and they're familiar with our concept and how we put policies together. Cash value collateral loans. So this is an alternative that allows one to obtain a loan, usually at a more competitive interest rate than what insurance companies will offer. So most insurance companies, you might see rates between 5 and 6%, which the interest is payable to the insurance company. Now, this cash value collateral loan involves taking our policy cash value to a lender, a bank, and assigning the cash value as collateral, similar to a line of credit. If we invest in real estate or have leveraged our primary home, almost identical. The only difference is banks love this. I mean, they loan against real estate as well. Banks love this because they view it as a as cash what they're loaning against. And also remember, most banks are familiar with cash value life insurance to the degree it's the number one asset on their balance sheet. They have it already, especially if it's a policy with one of the major mutual companies. They know that it's going to deliver. It's going to be there. So they are happy to grant a loan against it. So how this works is literally the bank uses cash value as collateral and grants a loan to the policyholder. When we do this, money is never pulled from our cash value. We just have a collateral assignment with the bank. Advantages. First is the interest rate. Typically, it is more attractive, the loan interest rate, than what the company will give us. We'll vary. We do have to qualify for the loan as well because we are applying for it with a lender. So the interest rate is going to vary, but typically it is more attractive from an interest rate standpoint. This one's my favorite. Is it can classify as a personal or business loan. If business loan is selected on the paperwork from the bank, it's a formal business loan, a tax deduction may become available. Where this is advantageous is when it comes to life insurance policies, if I take a loan from a life insurance policy, typically the loan interest is not tax deductible. If I'm using it for business purposes, if I have a CPA that says, yes, we can do it, and they're familiar with life insurance, I've got them in my corner, we've seen some CPAs deduct the loan interest, but at the same time, the IRS typically does not allow loan interest to be deducted. So if you've got a CPA, you can certainly give it a shot because you're making a case, you're using it for business. This is much cleaner. It's a business loan, paperwork directly from a large financial institution, from a bank. Now, remember that your money in the policy is still in there, so you're compounding whatever the dividend rate is. And then also, you're getting a more favorable loan interest rate, and you're taking advantage by offsetting that loan interest cost through a deduction. Good information to be aware of. Another advantage here, loans might be issued faster. I mean, they're typically issued very fast directly through a policy, 1 to 3 business days if it's direct deposit. However, similar to a line of credit, I can write checks against it or have it sent direct deposit. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient. People that are used to leveraging are familiar with this. The disadvantage, we give up some control of the policy. We have a collateral assignment. What this means is if I want to make any changes, ownership, beneficiary, I want to take policy loans from the account, or really make any changes, I have to sign off on that as the policyholder. So does the bank. They want to make sure that if they are giving you a $50,000 loan and you assign that cash value as collateral, they want to make sure there's always $50,000 there that is going to satisfy the loan. So that's why they're going to keep a closer eye on it until we pay that loan off. So that's the one thing we want to be aware of. The interest rate is variable. Interest-only payments in most cases are required. I've got to pay that each month. Not a big deal, but with a basic policy loan, that's not the case. So really, I give up control for what's potentially a more favorable situation. This I went through quickly, can certainly get you more information around this. Again, we have someone we're working with and we're trying to work with them exclusively as far as offering these to consumers, at least putting anyone interested in touch with them. But it's a nice option to be aware of. Okay, a lot of information this evening. Any questions? I saw one come through recently. With the cash value collateral loan, is the interest front-loaded like typical loan schedules? So it functions almost identical to a line of credit where I'm going to have simple interest due only on whatever that loan balance is. So it's not like a 15 or 30 year mortgage. It's more so like a line of credit. Whatever I have outstanding, interest is due. And then if I'm chipping away at that balance, obviously I'm going to have a much lesser loan interest expense. Fits nicely with Velocity Banking. Any other questions? I know we covered a lot today, but when it comes to loan interest, we only touched on four companies. Imagine if we touched on all of them. But there is a lot of material out there. Any other questions before we conclude? Okay, well, appreciate everyone's time this evening. Feel free to reach out direct if you have questions you do not want to discuss in front of everyone. You can respond directly to the email you received the link from, or just email us direct at our info account. Take care, everybody.